Before leaving, please remember to make a contribution to all of my thousands of hours of work here, PayPal, Patreon, or fundraiser in the description below or on the China Rising Radio Sinoland article page. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland and China Tech Newsflash. Just wanted to give you an update. We finally got our shipment back from Thailand, where we were hoping to retire, but moved back to France to take care of my wife's family's ancestral home and also her mother's in a nursing home nearby. So we retired here permanently in cold northern France. I just got my big, nice Rode NT mic fixed here locally. So that's going to be added back to where it used to be. And then I got my computer, which was, I got a little bit broken in the shipment from Thailand. I got it fixed and I'm going to pick it up next week. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll be back with the green screen and for China Tech News Flash and important China Rising Radio Sinoland installments. This one, I just kind of want to give you a first off, audiovisual fans, you really need to get to the CRRS, the China Rising Radio Sinoland page for all the links, because there's just pages of them. And I do want to point out that my daughter does work at Huawei. She was first in Germany and HR Human Resources and is now in France as the admin assistant at two of the company's top research centers here in France, including the new 200 million euro Lagrange Center for Mathematics. In addition to everything else about the allegory of Huawei, you know, I do have a family connection and have learned a lot from her about why she enjoys working there so much. This one is entitled, Huawei is the perfect allegory for why the West's desperate efforts to destroy the Chinese nation are doomed to fail. And this happens to be China Tech News Flash number 103. Before we get started, my two recent posts are a great primer, also based on living and working in China for 16 years. The first one, Jeff J. Brown reviews, quote, Huawei stories, pioneers, end of quote, by Tian Tao and Yin Jifeng. After reading this book, is it any wonder that Huawei is the global leader in ICT? There's the link for that one. This one talks about Huawei's work in France in the Lagrange Center with photos. And this post that I just recently put up, invited to Huawei's, quote, protecting IP, Driving Innovation 2021 White Paper Forum, end of quote. Here is my analysis and what you need to know for your ICT, which stands for Information Communication and Technology Future. Also really, really good. And since Huawei is the perfect allegory and metaphor for China, its governance and people, especially vis-a-vis the West, I created a Huawei online resource collection. It even has Chinese articles in there, and the link is here. Okay, here's my report. The West's big lie propaganda machine, the BLPM tsunami against Huawei and China, are part and parcel of the same MSM psychological warfare since Euranglo-land, and that's my neologism for all the countries making up NATO, the European Union, Five Eyes, and Israel, can't compete openly and honestly on a level playing field. And there are these tech websites. They all have dishonest, distorted, blatantly propagandistic articles. And they do some good reports. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but they do, when it comes to China, the reporting becomes dishonest and distorted and very propagandistic and anti-China. These include websites like TotalTel, Telecoms, Light Reading, and Total Telecom, as if it's perfectly normal for the West to declare war as a business plan on China. As I have reported before, that especially the United States, but in tandem with the vassal Europe, is doing against companies like Huawei and against China was exactly what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did to get Japan to attack the United States so that the United States could get into World War II to boost the economy because the economy was really, really flagging. What is going on historically isn't way enough for a country to respond with a hot war, but that's not something the Chinese are ready to do. All right, let's go. I just want to run through quickly about 10 of the articles from these websites that just love to come out with these snarky, insulting, threatening, chest beating articles against Huawei and everybody else in China. Huawei's dishonesty continues as it argues that people who call Harmony operating system, that's their new cross-platform, computers, phones, cars, consumer electronics, everything, that's their new operating system, and Android skin have no idea about software. You know, Linux was the original operating system, but now there's all kinds of different Linuxes out there that are not the same. Huawei started out with Android, but then they have changed it so much that it's not even recognizably Android, just as there are now at least four or five Linux systems that, yes, they started out with Linux, but they're now own unique systems. Huawei is proving as hard to stop as a movie supervillain. Oh, God, they're so evil. Huawei short on answers to chips crunch as growth stalls. Well, yeah, because the United States has completely shut down their ability to purchase chips outside of China. What do you expect? Starved of chips, Huawei pivots to cars and software. Well, you would too if you know your smartphone business is going to take a big hit. Of course they did. They're diversifying. Open Radio Access Network ran the China Syndrome. You know, the reference to the movie with, I think it was Jane Fonda, about the nuclear power plant meltdown. They use these emotive trigger words to elicit negative impressions in your head. Huawei gives another thumbs down to Open RAN, or so it says. Why would Huawei want to cooperate with Open RAN? I'm sure it would cooperate with Open RAN if they were treated equally like Ericsson and Nokia and not have war declared on it. But you have to read the whole article. Ericsson and Nokia are not wild about Open RAN either, but they want to give you the impression that it's Huawei that's trying to diss Open RAN. Huawei navigates U.S. sanctions to make a profit in 2020, which they did. Of course, you know, never questioning the logic of why are the sanctions even in place. And of course, the reason is that they can't compete against Huawei. This has nothing to do with, as I will report later, has nothing to do with national security. It's just the inability to compete on a level playing field. Huawei will play no part in the UK's 5G future. And another one, new German security law may tighten the screws on Huawei. And then here's a couple of more that I discussed in the white paper piece I just told you about. I mean, this was blatantly racist in this article. Nokia will cut up to 10,000 more jobs after Huawei gained 16,000 positions. But they basically, in this article, they basically said, we can't trust Huawei's numbers because they're Chinese. You can't trust the Chinese, which is just blatantly racist. And I talk about that in my article. Following that white paper, this was the BLPM meme they propagated around the world. Huawei to begin charging phone makers for 5G patents, as if other companies don't charge for their patents. And as I pointed out in the article, it's so darn cheap, it's irrelevant. Huawei does not make very much money off of its patents. I think it's $3 billion a year. It's insignificant, but they give you the impression that, well, Huawei's charging for its patents, but well, so does Samsung, so does LG, so does everybody else, so does Apple, so does Google, and if they have patents they want to charge for, of course they do. And so these totally dishonest, distorting, psychological warfare soldiers, they are all very, very happy because finally, after all this time, after being totally deprived of chips for the last couple of years, the big announcement came out. Revenues fell 16.5% to $23.5 billion in the first quarter of 2021 for Huawei. Of course, it was almost all in smartphones overseas, and I've reported a lot about this on China Tech Newsflash. There is a quote from Eric Xu, the Huawei's rotating chairman. I've also written about this, how they rotate chairmen. They rotate CEOs. It's just unbelievable. His quote, 2021 will be another challenging year for us, but it's also the year that our future development strategy will begin to take shape. We thank our customers and partners for their ongoing trust. No matter what challenges come our way, we will continue to maintain our business resilience, not just to survive, but to do so sustainably. As always, we will remain focused on the needs of our customers and keep delivering practical business value. You could go back to that quote, and everywhere where you see for us, you could replace us, we. In other words, Huawei, you could replace that with China. 2021 will be another challenging year for China. If you just go back and replace that, this just goes to show you, you know, and customers would be, you know, citizens, diplomatic partners, the Belt and Road Initiative, you know, in terms of delivering practical business value. This is the total allegory of China and Baba Beijing, the leadership. This is what the Westerners and probably most people around the world do not understand, is that an outside attack on Huawei, ZTE, and any other Chinese business is looked upon by the people as an attack on them. Chinese citizens are patriots first. Well, I can go on and read in Chinese in the national press and the social media. They are full of, we've got to show support for, and then just plug it in. Huawei, ZTE, I don't care if it's an airline, whatever, high-speed train company, automobile company, a mining company, a shipping company. The Chinese are ready to back to the hilt their businesses if they feel like there is an attack from the outside. And it goes both ways. The companies in China, an attack on them is an attack on China and the Chinese people. And this goes back to Mao Zedong thought. I mean, you can go back and read what he wrote. This is exactly the how the Chinese, not only the people, but the business, the government, mission, and their business and their governance with the outside world. All right. I have in another file, I went through and pulled out all the Huawei ones, and I still have like 9 pages of China Tech Newsflash hyperlinks to report on. I mean, I just cannot keep up. But I was, there were so many about Huawei because Huawei is, in the gun scope of the West, and so there's a lot of information out there about Huawei. When times are good, the pay is better. When times are tough, the 200,000 employee owners of Huawei step up to help out. And so there's an article here, Huawei seeks to raise fresh funds from the employees because they're the owners. You can't buy Huawei stock. It's the world's largest employee-owned company amid U.S. trade sanctions. This one was interesting. Fake, dumb, and poor. Huawei exec unloads on China 5G. Ryan Ding, the head of Huawei's carrier business, this was one of these snarky articles from the propaganda, has tipped a bucket of ice on China's 5G. China might have the world's biggest rollout and the largest number of customers, but compared to other countries, in particular South Korea, he says China's 5G is, quote, fake, dumb, and poor. Well, that was not meant for the outside world. That was meant for Huawei's employees, to get them fired up, to get them inspired. Now Huawei employees will be motivated to show their patriotism by working bigger, better, faster, and cheaper. The book that I reviewed up above, it's just unbelievable. Let's look at China domestically. Huawei is mopping up stakes in domestic chip suppliers. Of course, if Trump and now Biden are going to deprive Huawei of being able to buy chips to run its business, they're going to start looking domestically. So they've been buying interests in various chip companies in China. Here's another article. China has reached about 96% of its target to build 500,000 5G base stations. Of course, many of those, if not most of them, will be Huawei. So as the West continues to try to destroy Huawei internationally, those 500,000 towers will provide a lot of service revenue for Huawei domestically. Here's an interesting one. This is something that's very, very Chinese, very Confucian, very Taoist, very Buddhist. China Tech veterans launch domestic replacement fund amid U.S. sanctions. In other words, Chinese businesses and perceived competitors work together for the greater good, especially when the chips are down, pardon the pun, they will actually help each other to make sure that the pie stays big. China's Manhattan microchip project, a new Shanghai plant reportedly to rid Huawei of dependency on foreign chips in light of U.S. sanctions. I will report later on that, trust me, China will be producing its own chips within the next few years. Here's another one. Huawei and China Mobile, my phone company, pitch network smarts together called Intelligent Connectivity. Huawei and the three big phone companies work together to increase customer satisfaction and lower costs for everybody. Internationally, Huawei launches Go Global Alliance to boost Chinese gaming tech firms and using Harmony operating system platforms. Next, Huawei updates Petal Maps with a major upgrade, rivaling Google Maps in a bid for tech self-sufficiency. Kenya hails Huawei's role in boosting youth ICT skills. Huawei is all over Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Oceania. If you read that book review I did about how they got established in Africa and other parts of the world, it's just unbelievable. Here's another one. Huawei sets out stall for 5.5G to connect the world, calling for new standards to support high-speed uplinks, drones, and hundreds of billions of connections. Again, looking out, you know, globally across the world. And why is everybody still wanting Huawei? Huawei, here's another article, still top dog in the global telecoms kit market. If you go back, I can the chart that shows Huawei global revenue compared to Samsung, ICT companies, Samsung and Nokia and Ericsson. I mean, it's just several magnitudes greater than their competition. And it's not just Huawei. U.S. war on China tech. Here's another headline. Five firms accused of posing national threat. U.S. banning, sanctioning, and embargoing Huawei, ZTE, which is also another ICT company, Hytera Communications, they do walkie-talkies, radios, and communication equipment, Hangzhou Hikvision, they do CCTVs, and then Dahua, they also do CCTVs. They've also sanctioned SenseTime, the world's most valuable artificial intelligence startup. At least before the ban, the large AI company Meghvai and facial recognition firm E2 Technologies have been put on this entity list where they cannot have any relationship with the United States. And of course, in the United States, extorts the rest of the world to not do business with them. Also listed were voice recognition company iFlytek, cybersecurity group Meiya, Pico and nanotech firm Yixin Science and Technology, plus tens more. I mean, the list is huge. And now, just a couple of weeks ago, the USA just banned Sigma supercomputing company, which I also reported on. In fact, my very first China Tech Newsflash number one is about the fact that China is now more and more dominating supercomputing globally. Included Sugan and then the microprocessor Higan. Why are they banning all these companies? Because they can't compete. That's just all there is to it. They've got bigger, better, faster, cheaper software and hardware. And this whole idea, where the West, especially the United States, has literally declared war on China and the Chinese people and all of their businesses. The Chinese will continue to thrive and prosper because Mao Zedong and his Mao Zedong thought inspires them. Remember, he was the one that came up with the plan for the Third Front, where they moved huge amounts of industry and manufacturing into the interior of the country because, I mean, it was really, really serious with the United States threatening to wipe out China with atomic bombs back in the 1950s. Mao said, go ahead, America's atom bombs are just a paper tiger. If you bomb us, we'll just move everybody to the other half of the country and we'll still survive. Of course, that was used as propaganda that, oh, Mao doesn't care that if half his people get wiped out. That's not what he said. He said, if you all bomb us with A-bombs, we are not going to cave in. We're just going to move west, start over, and rebuild. Not only that, but during the Mao era, they went from strength to strength in tech and ag and manufacturing and everything else. Here's another one. China deploys Sun Tzu Art of War to win the chip war. I reported on this several times. With or without a sanctions juggernaut, China simply won't be expelled from the global semiconductor market. Beijing has a plan to become the indispensable tech core of East Asia, linking ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, Northeast Asia, and even both Koreas. And we cannot forget that in the next few years, Made in China 2025, which I reported on several times, remains in effect. The Chinese will be manufacturing the necessary equipment to produce 5-nanometer chips as good as or even better than what's being made in Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan. And that is absolutely true. Not only that, but all of the Chinese companies are backed and supported by Baba Beijing. They will do whatever it takes to make sure that their 100 core industries, including ICT, are not going to be destroyed by outside declarations of war. Here's a couple of articles. China slams U.S. bullying tech firms, unveils data security. So they now are coming out with their own data security regulations and architecture to compete against the United States. Here's another one. China urges neighbors, again, ASEAN, Southeast Asia, etc., to back its data security idea, not the U.S. It's hard for the West to compete against that kind of integrated, patriotic, harmonious, let's grow the pie, not try to each have the entire pie. Very, very Confucian, Taoist, and Buddhist. The U.S., nothing to say, except Commerce Department has their entity list. Commerce Department adds 9 Chinese entities related to human rights. Commerce Department adds 24 Chinese companies. Commerce Department adds 11 Chinese entities implicated in human rights violations. Yeah, sure. List of Chinese companies, U.S. sanctions, South China Sea Island Building. Let's go ahead and... U.S. Department of Commerce adds 28 Chinese organizations to its entity list. Commerce Department further restricts Huawei access to U.S. technology. U.S. Undersecretary of State says there really is no future with Huawei. Here's a good one. Ex-diplomat reveals how Trump administration managed to persuade EU states to ditch Huawei's 5G. Well, I'll tell you how. The Imperial Toolbox, blackmail, bribery, and extortion. Nothing's changed. Then here we go. Huawei 5G ban in the U.S. The Joe Biden administration now puts new limits on Huawei. This even after Trump actually lifted a couple. Pompeo expresses confidence that Western telecom providers will effectively compete with Huawei. Well, given that this is, of course, the former Secretary of State for Trump, given what you all have done, maybe, I'm not even sure that you will be able to compete in spite of everything that you have done to try to destroy Huawei and China. More chip makers apply for U.S. licenses to sell to Huawei as sanctions kick in. Intel gets U.S. licenses to supply some products. White House reportedly revokes at least one Intel license to sell to Huawei. That was Joe Biden. The United Kingdom, loyal Anglo-Saxon Siamese twin to the United States. The UK plans to rip out Huawei's 4G, install new 4G, non-Huawei, and then try to find non-Chinese 5G suppliers. Billions of pounds that will be added to Britain's customers. I mean, it's not even capitalism. It's not free trade. It's desperate imperialism. Here are some of the headlines. UK's post-Huawei 5G landscape needs new suppliers, says task force. They can't find anybody to replace Huawei at the scale that they need for national 5G. UK's Huawei 5G network ban may cost the economy £182 billion, £173 billion in GDP, as Britain loses 5G lead. What kind of government would do something like this? I mean, this is nuts. UK to lose $100 billion in economic gains, 350,000 potential jobs over 10 years due to Huawei ban. Okay, go ahead. A drop in the bucket. UK to fund £250 million for Huawei 5G ban plan, but will lose billions in the long run. And then BT and Vodafone balk at the prospect of removing Huawei from UK networks because they don't have anything to replace them with. And then Lord Brown, who used to be the CEO of BT, came out and said in an interview, there is nothing that we cannot verify with Huawei. We, you know, they are not spying on us. We can control all the back doors. We can control all of the everything. And he's the former CEO of BT, British Telecom, one of the biggest, big, you know, global behemoths in ICT. I think he knows what he's talking about. And so he even came out and said that there's nothing to worry about. That doesn't really get published. This was on a minor website. You know, it doesn't get published on the front page of the Financial Times or the Independent, the other major papers. Since 2015, the UK began to scrutinize Huawei. Below is the fifth Huawei security evaluation report. It continues to confirm no evidence of Huawei backdoor activities. BLPM censors this information. It's really hard to see. In fact, this is from the UK government. It's a UK government website. And as I reported, Xinzheng Fei, the founder and former CEO of Huawei, offered to provide every algorithm, everything to Western companies. Of course, they would have to pay for it because it's licensed, but so that they can see exactly what they're getting. But again, they can't compete. And so they come up with this phony national security lie, the big lie propaganda machine. In spite of all this, you know, especially since Huawei got its start in Europe working with BT, if you see my book review above, Huawei not giving up on UK 5G just yet. They still, you know, a lot of companies would just say to heck with you and we'll go someplace else. But that's not the way the Chinese businesses work. They're way too Confucian, Taoist, and Buddhist. France, as I reported in my white paper article above, Huawei loves to work with the French because their education system cranks out well-trained blue-collar and educated white-collar workers, especially in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. They've got some of the best engineering schools in the world. And here we go, Huawei to build network equipment factory in France as EU battles for tech policy on Chinese. So they just built the Lagrange Center for Mathematics. They continue. They've got like six research centers in France. Now they're going to do manufacturing in France in spite of everything being done to try to destroy them and the Chinese nation. Germany, even though they are threatening to pull out of Huawei in country, Berlin plans to back Deutsche Telekom's China 5G bid as U.S. pressures EU to in trade and tech war. So, you know, they're sitting there threatening to pull out Huawei from Germany, but they're going to go ahead and try to, you know, do business in China. I mean, you have to choose war or cooperation. Funny enough, the Chinese would let them have an opportunity. Again, you get these articles in the press. France is going to let Huawei and ZTE do this. And then 2 weeks later, oh, France is going to ban Huawei and ZTE. This is because of the imperial toolbox. As soon as a vassal state, American empire, Western empire, comes out with something favorable to say, announces that they're going to continue to work, etc., what does Washington do? They send their goons over to Brussels and Paris and Berlin and London And they pull out their imperial toolbox, blackmail, bribery, and extortion. And then the headlines change. Sweden has really become a battleground. Huawei makes a stand against Sweden's 5G ban. Huawei appeals Sweden ban. Sweden halts 5G auction after court allows Huawei to build 5G network. And then, of course, Ericsson is one of the best ICT companies in the world. They are Swedish. And so here you have the chief executive of Ericsson coming out and saying, Europe risks falling behind again in 5G rollout amid Swedish Huawei ban. So here you have the CEO of one of Sweden's flagship high-tech companies saying, we need to work with Huawei. And then when that didn't really help, and by the way, I'm finding these on, you know, alternative media. I'm not, you know, Sputnik and RT and elsewhere, because I don't know how much of this is actually being reported and fully explained in the big lie propaganda machine. Swedish Ericsson threatens to leave Sweden, unwilling to lose the Chinese market over Huawei ban. So the CEO, apparently the what he said about 5G fell on deaf ears. Again, the imperial toolbox, blackmail, bribery, extortion in the halls of government. He's basically saying that Swedish Ericsson will leave Sweden if Sweden bans Huawei. Is this capitalism? Is this free markets? Is this, you know, open trade, fair trade? Unbelievable. I know people who work for Ericsson in China, and Ericsson is making very good money there. And so they're making a lot more money in China than they could ever make in Sweden. Australia, loyal, bootlicking, imperial vassal Australia. They cannot stop shooting themselves in the head with everything from agriculture to mining to trade, letting in the U.S., you know, build bases and whatever else is going on to threaten China, sending ships to the South China Sea. China offers to help Australia with 6G, but again, 6G. You know, the West can't even get 5G going well, and China's already working on 6G, which I've reported on several times. But Down Under keeps committing high-tech suicide as a partner. Yeah, you know, they're one of the Five Eyes, you know, with the Anglo-Saxon countries to spy all over the world. China is still offering to help the Australians. Will they take it? They just keep doing the stupidest things to satisfy the United States' demands. Australian Cold War on Huawei to cost $100 million and 1,000 jobs amid Canberra's 5G ban to support the U.S.-China trade war. Go on, Aussies. Commit suicide. Sad. Software. Basically, what's going to happen is that until Huawei can get the chips they need, they're going to become like Apple, and they will become a bigger, better, faster, cheaper Apple, and they're going to move into applications, and they're going to move into laptops in a big way, and consumer electronics, and smartphones, just like Apple does. In one place here, EMUI is their Android-derived mobile phone operating system developed by Huawei. It is used in the company's smartphones and tablets. Unfortunately, my old Huawei Nova 2i that I bought in Vietnam, well, it has a cracked screen. That will not get the new EMUI 11, version 11, because it's just too old. Because my Huawei 40 Plus Pro that we bought in Thailand before we left got stolen here in France. In fact, I've already decided I'm going to get a newer Huawei phone, probably not a P40 because they're much more expensive, but maybe a P30 from China with the Huawei Harmony operating system to test it. So anyway, EMUI 11 users exceed 100 million. The next stop is Harmony operating system. So what they're going to do is they're going to get as many phones. They've gone back. I think they got back to about Huawei 5. four, unfortunately two. I don't think they're going to get to two, so that people can then convert their phones for free from the Android-based operating system to the Huawei operating system. In fact, I'm so upset with Windows right now that they have screwed me over so badly. I think I'm going to get the Huawei operating system for my laptop that I'm using right now to ditch Microsoft Windows 10. Huawei's app gallery rivals Google and Apple with 530 million users. Major growth in 2020 despite U.S. trade bans. They have spent millions of dollars in India working with app developers there to stock the Huawei store. When I was using my P40, there was only one program that I could not find that would not work on my P40, which did not have Google Play, and that was quite a while ago. Now when they come out with their Harmony operating system, I am sure there's going to be even more applications. And so now, of course, Huawei is becoming like Apple. Let's do applications. Also for software, Huawei turns to AI pig farming to bring home the bacon. So they're using their artificial intelligence and their software, big data, everything else to work with pig farmers. Huawei launches a powerful AI artificial intelligence processor, the Ascend 910. That's just in software. Now let's get to cars. This is really interesting. A couple of years ago, Xinjiang Fei said, oh, we'll never do cars. But that was before the West declared war on China and on Huawei and all the other companies in China. And if you don't know, China is the world's biggest car market. That includes Western Cadillac, in the United States, Buick, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi, VW, Peugeot. They're all there. Citroën, Renault, they're all there. And so whatever happens in China in terms of automobiles will undoubtedly, for these Western companies, whatever technology they adopt in China will undoubtedly come back home to Europe and North America. Huawei signs 18 car makers to drive 5G adoption. So now 18 car makers, and I can guarantee you it includes the Western ones, because they don't want the Chinese car makers to have a technical advantage in the biggest car market in the world, are adopting Huawei's 5G for connected vehicles. Huawei pivots to China's smart car market. And so again, they weren't planning on it, but they're adaptable, they move fast, and you'll see here below that they have moved very, very fast in the last year. Huawei shifts focus to its connected car business. This is the connected cars is where the car will be using the Huawei operating system and will be plugged into satellites and GPS and your home and the Internet of Things and eventually self-driving cars. This is really, really interesting. Huawei starts selling smart cars in flagship stores across China to offset smartphone losses. Of course, those smartphone losses are outside of China. So you go into a store in a Huawei store in China, you buy your new P40 phone, and the salesperson says, hey, while you're here, why don't you buy an electric car? Sure. So they have come out with the new SF5 model, and it has been jointly launched by the Shenzhen-based tech giant and car maker Seres, S-E-R-E-S. Xiaomi is actually investing like $10 billion to come out with their own car. Huawei has opted to just put $1 billion into this project and work with this Shenzhen company. Of course, for those of you who don't know, I lived in Shenzhen for 3 years before moving to Thailand in hopes of retiring there and then now in France. 5G with Harmony operating system to seamlessly connect car to all Huawei devices. So this has been no other company's been able to do this. Not Apple, not Google, not Microsoft, not Samsung. Nobody has been able to seamlessly connect across platforms, one operating system. When I get my Huawei phone and eventually my laptop and I'm talking to you, I can even, you know, connect. This is what my daughter gave me, a Huawei watch, because they gave it to her in Dusseldorf when she transferred, and she didn't, it was a little bit too masculine. So she gave it to me. So I'll be able to hook all these things together with Huawei. They are also going into self-driving cars. Their self-driving car is better than Tesla's. Get a load of this. Huawei sold 3,000 driverless cars in 2 days using a navigation system far superior than Tesla. So take that, Elon Musk. I've reported about him too. All right. I hope you all enjoyed this. I could sit there and write about this all day. And instead of doing a lot of short ones, I thought I'd do just one big long one and show you all where Huawei is and that it is an allegory for the Chinese people, for the Chinese nation, for the Chinese government, for Baba Beijing. There's nothing to stop them. They are not going to be stopped no matter what the West, how desperately the West tries to crush them, declare war on them. It's not going to happen. And even if there's a hot war with Mao Zedong, they'll just move. They'll adapt. They'll survive. And the West may not. This is Jeff. Thank you very much. Have a great day. China Rising Radio Sinoland and China Tech News Flash signing out. Please make a contribution to all of my hard work. Thank you.